Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello, how are you all doing this evening? This is Dennis setting in for Dr. Jesse Walker. Dr. Walker is out of place, out of town, and we're here to have a good time praising and talking about the Lord. You know, a lot of us have heard all during the week and last couple of weeks about the George Zimmerman case and Tracy. And Trayvon Martin, and it is something that has upset some people, concerned other people. Some people don't give a care about what's going on, but we have to keep praying and talking positive. Life is not always what we expect it to be. You know, a lot of people thought that because of all the evidence and that the boy was killed, that Zimmerman would be convicted. And we see different, see how that came out different. You know, we go back in the Bible and we can look out at how Jesus walked this earth, and he handpicked people to walk with him, his disciples. And as he picked his disciples, he worked with them. He prayed with them. He talked to them and tried to inspire them. And when they would pray together, he would turn around and find that they were asleep and not praying. And he had a hard day just like they did, sometimes even harder. But their concentration on the prayer and on the belief in the things that Jesus was teaching and working with them on was not as Jesus would have them to be with them. So in a sense, they kind of betrayed him. You know, we always think that Judas was the only one that betrayed him, but Judas is the one who brought him before the rulers and they are the ones who put him on trial. But you know, when you look at the whole realm of things, if you're not doing the things the way that you were taught to and doing them on your own, you're kind of betraying. If you have a friend and you all are close and you think that you know that friend so well that you say that I know that they wouldn't do that, and you find out they did, it hurts. I remember when my daughter was growing up, and I got reports that she used some bad language, and I said, well, it's possible. And she used them more, and an adult called me from the school and told me what had happened. And so I had to believe that my daughter, who was young at the time, did this. And so I asked her, and she said, yes, yes, I did. She knew better, but she had her own agenda. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says, and while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He was giving the first communion. He wanted them to put his spirit, everything that he had taught them, in their mind, in their hearts, in their lives. They wouldn't take it by word, so he figured if he can give something that represented him to them, that they may take hold of what he had a little bit closer. In verse 27, it said that he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, which shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, verse 29, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the wine until the day when I drank it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He knew it was about time for him to be crucified. He knew what he had to go through for our sake. But when you love someone, you give to them of you, as Jesus gave of himself to us. He didn't have to die, but he died for our sins. If he didn't die, we couldn't live. And so he was letting his disciples know that he'll drink with them again, but it won't be here on this earth. It would be when everybody reaches heaven, or his disciples, his handpicked. You know, Jesus isn't walking and talking like he did physically many years ago. But he does still pick us and choose us and ask us to do his will, to keep his commandments. And we have to do that, not some of the time, but all the time. You know, you get people that get on your nerves, and you don't know sometimes exactly what to do or how to take it. Sometimes we want to retaliate. We want to hit, shoot, kill some people sometimes. But that is not how Jesus wants us to react. He wants us to have that kind spirit, that loving spirit. But he doesn't want us to be used. You know, you always heard that Jesus turned the other cheek. When Jesus turned the other cheek, he didn't turn it so someone else could hit him on the other side. He wasn't going to be slapped on both sides of his face. I'll give you an example. When he was walking through the temple and he saw people buying and selling in the temple, in the church, he said, look, this is God's holy house. Don't buy and sell in here. Going out on the street where you was. Yes, I know it's shaded in here, it's cooler in here, but that is not what you need to do. I'm paraphrasing and putting it in today's terms. So he walked on down the street, did whatever he had to do, and when he came back and they were still in there like they had not heard him, he turned the other cheek. When he turned the other cheek then, he turned their tables over, he threw them out of the church because they were hard-headed, they were stubborn, and they thought that they could do whatever they wanted to do. But he showed them different because he demanded respect. He gives respect and he demands respect. You know, God the Father has to be respected as well. And, you know, a lot of times you hear people using the Lord's name in vain. No respect. And then you see throughout the Bible where God has smoked, killed people because he told them not to do something or they shouldn't do something, and they do it anyway. You know, God wants respect. He gives you respect. He has given you everything in your life, and we can't respect him enough to do some simple things, keep his commandments, because, you know, we want to do whatever we want to do. Verse 40 in chapter 26, it says, "And he came unto the disciples and findeth them asleep." This is what we're talking about. Verse 30, let's go back to verse 39. It says, "And when he went a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done." See, he had taken with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and because they were feeling this. And the Lord said that my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then, you know, that's what I'm saying. Verse 40, he said, "He came to the disciples and find them asleep and said unto them, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We have to, as humans, keep in prayer, because so many temptations are out there, so many things that are happening that we let rule our lives. And we have to continue to pray. Just like, see, if it wasn't necessary, Jesus wouldn't have been doing it. It was necessary for Jesus to stay in prayer, to stay close to his Father, so he can do what his Father wanted. And as he did that, he did it through prayer. And that's only how he was strong enough and willing enough and knew which direction to go, is by keeping in contact with his Father. You know, some of us are so hard-headed and foolish and stubborn that it takes a God to be able to work with us. In verse 42, he said, "And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, I accept it, thy will be done. And when he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed, and the third time saying the same words. Then," verse 45 says, "then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, and let us be going before he is at hand that does betray me." And he was speaking of Judas. He knew what was going to happen. But, you know, but he was willing to take on that responsibility. We have to work toward I wouldn't say perfection. We're supposed to be working toward perfection, but working toward what God has given us to do. It seems simple sometimes, and it seems hard other times. but it is something that we have to do. In Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." God is going to give us the strength that we can go out and tell people about his love and his soon coming. We have to shout and sing his glory, his honor. Lord has blessed us in so many different ways. He's been better to us than we have to ourselves. I know you heard that before, but if you take into granted what he has done for us compared to what we have done for him, you know, no man is perfect. No man is without sin, and we have to continue striving that we would be without sin. We must be baptized in the Spirit. We must continue to serve God in any way possible that we can. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." See, we can't have victory upon our own. We have to have a greater power. And no man has that power. No man can give that power. Nothing here on earth is as powerful as Jesus was when he was here. And now that he's not here, there's no man that is as powerful that can help us and bless us and keep us. Because when Jesus left the earth, he left the Holy Spirit to be with us. As we need him, we can call on the Holy Spirit. But we have a tendency to call on ourselves. But give thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain." When you're doing things for the Lord, your labor is not in vain. If you're doing things to glorify yourself, it is all in vain. If you do something for the Lord and you take the credit, your labor is in vain. We can't do anything without the power of God. Verse 50 and 15 says, "Now that I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. And verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you mysteries, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So you can't go to heaven the way you are. You've got to be changed. And you've got to be changed in the spirit of the living God. God is good, not some of the time, but God is good all the time. We have to do things that's going to glorify God, not ourselves. Not ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Ye also, helping together by prayer for us." What did I say? Helping together, by prayer for us, for the gifts bestowed upon us by the means of the many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So, you know, there are other people that can pray with you and pray for you, but they have to have the Spirit of the Lord within. You don't want no devils praying for you, because they don't really mean it. They don't really care about you. All they want to see is corruption. In verse, in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 13, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak." We have to speak to praise and honor the Lord. Speak his words, not ours, because our words are as good as filthy rags. In verse 14 of chapter 6, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness?" You know, people that can be taken several different ways. You know, some people, you know, think it's only talking about marrying a non-believer. Sometimes that non-believer takes up on the Spirit of the Lord and is better than the believer that brought it to him. But unequally yoked can also go with the friends that you hang with, the friends that you talk to, because they start talking this gossip, and what do? Talk this gossip. Carry on stuff and mess that needs to be left alone. Verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you." Verse 18, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty." That's my desire, is to be a son of the living God. I want to be in his family so bad. But it takes a lot. I'm willing to give a lot. I want, you know, he's asked us to keep his commandments, and I do my best to keep his commandments. He says to love one another, and I do my best to love one another. What about you? Have you ever thought about that? You know, sometimes it's family that gives you your hardest time. Sometimes it's friends. Sometimes it's strangers. But if you give in to the unclean things that they're doing, that they're saying, then you know better than they are. If you're weak, call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. What's that song? Walk in the light, beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Walk all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. That's because he is the light of the world. Jesus has been there because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. God has just been so good to us, so good, that we have to continue doing the things that he has asked us to do. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be ye strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the power, against the rulers of darkness, and the spiritual wickedness and spiritual weaknesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded up about you with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet the shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, taking the shield of faith wherewith we shall be quenched of all fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer of supplication into the Spirit, and to watch therefore unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We have to do God's word. We have to put on a helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. That's where your heart is. And God wants to be in your heart to cover and protect your heart. Verse 20 says, For which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know that my affairs and how I do it. And beloved, my brothers and faithful ministers in the Lord shall make known to you all things. And verse 22 says, whom have I sent unto you? For the same purpose of ye might know our affairs, and that ye might comfort your heart. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. You know, sometimes people talk, and you just be running off the mouth how much they love the Lord, but are truly not telling the truth, because they are not doing what God said to do. They're doing their own thing, but they're sinning and not doing what God has told them to do. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, through not is robbery to be equal with God. We're not equal with God, so it would be robbery if we think that we are, that we act as we are. Verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. If we do it God's way, it's not in vain. In verse chapter 4 in Philippians, it says, finally, my brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, we have to do it in the name of God. You all have a good night, and may God bless you.